First John chapter 2. I'm going to read a well-known verse of Scripture here. And honestly, I kind of feel a little bit unusual for me to preach this message. It's a message to young people. But we have a lot of young people here tonight. And so you listen carefully. All of our young people here tonight. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, that's not talking about the earth, it's talking about the world system, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, here's how you know that, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I'd like to preach tonight on the subject, three strikes and you're out. I'm going to talk about youth and young people tonight. How many of you tonight are under 18? If you're under 18, would you stand, please? If you're under 18, would you stand, please? All right, I want you to look at that. Hold on. I didn't say stand. Stand up if you are under 18. Isn't that a blessing? Miss Millie, you're 19 and we know it. What about that? Everybody knows she's 19. She's probably 20 by now. Her last birthday, she's 20. That's a good crowd of young people. Look at the little heathen in here tonight. Isn't that a blessing? Now, all right, I'm going to talk to y'all tonight. Of course, it's for the other ones. You may be seated. Thank you. To be a young person tonight is really a tragedy. I feel sorry for you, man. I would hate to be 16 right now. Lord, I've heard people say, boy, I'd love to be 15. I wouldn't. You might make a bigger mess of it next time than you did this the first time. I said, boy, if I could be a teenager again, I'd do a lot of things different. Well, I hope I would. Maybe you would. Maybe you would. You might do it worse. I come through pretty good considering where a lot of my friends wound up. And I thank God he got me through. But you're living in a different day. The day we're living in, young people run in packs. Like animals, wolves out in pasture, you know, field, whatever. They live off pizza and french fries. You are what you eat. And some of you are going to be a pizza one day. Or a french fry. That's right. You are what you eat. They stand in line, go then live up, going to the mall. The mom comes and picks them up. And they say one way to keep the kids home more is make the atmosphere pleasant and let the air out of the tires of the car. They're cruising, sassing, running the roads, and growing up in a different world than we've ever seen before. These young people here, I got thinking about these boys here. Heather's boys, Brother Jason's kids, Brother Derek's boys, Miss Sherry's boys, all these preteen. We're fixing to have a bunch of teenagers here in our church in just a very short couple of years. And we're going to have a special class for them over there in the new building, Lord willing, that I'm planning, and try to help them and be an encouragement to them. They ride the short bus, you know. And I've got some plans for them. I want to help them. You think about what they're growing up facing. You think what they... If they don't get a touch from God in church and see God real on mom and daddy and on the preacher and on the choir, they ain't really got much of a chance. Because if a young person grows up in church not feeling God and knowing God's real, they'll turn into an atheist or at least an agnostic. Because when the world gets through with them, the world offers them all this stuff and they don't see anything real at church. And so they just think, I don't know what I believe. I don't know if old time religion is real or not. I don't know if God's still real or not. I don't know if what grandma had is real or not. That's why it's a tremendous responsibility on us as their mentors and as their preachers and pastors and Sunday school teachers and bus workers, that we have something in our life that when they grow up, they'll say, I want what that person has. I want what the Shining Light girls have when they stand up and sing. I want what the preacher has when he stands up and preaches. I want what they've got. That's our responsibility as adults. I want to say three things about it tonight. And the first thing I want to say to a young person, I'm going to talk about three strikes and you're out, like baseball, you know. You get three strikes, you're out. There's three tonight in the Bible. The first thing I want to say is the world will attract you. The world will attract you. Now, young people tonight, mamas and daddies also, we must realize that this world is attractive. Amen? I mean, the devil's got a thousand things out there that are attractive. You might as well admit it. They said years ago, they had an interview in Santa Monica, California, right outside Los Angeles, with Wes Craven. And Wes Craven is the man who created the famous horror movies, Nightmare on Elm Street. And that's the movie where Freddy or Jason or one of them people, is it Freddy, who comes out and kills people. One of those horror slasher films. And it's always somebody waking up in a dream and Freddy's cutting her throat, you know, and all that stuff. And Wes Craven has had a tremendous effect on the young people of our generation and the Nightmare on Elm Street. And somebody asked, they said, why is that? Why are teenagers so, in fact, you know, it's like, ooh, I want to go see that. Ooh, let's go see it. It's scary. And we like to be scared. We like to be scared, but yet still know we're safe. And the reason you like to be scared is because this flesh likes a thrill. And the flesh likes to be, you know, jolted and shocked and thrilled. And it's translated on over in the lust, as we'll see in here in just a little bit. But tonight, they asked Wes Craven, they said, what do you think? Your movies are about teenagers and moves young people. Wes Craven knows young people. He's a lost heathen, far as I know, but he does understand what moves a young person. And you know what he said? Here's what he said, quote, Wes Craven said, I believe that we are at a frightening transitional stage of history. We tried the Ozzy and Harriet thing of the 50s, and that didn't work. We tried the hippie movement of the 60s, and that didn't either. Then we had the yuppies and the preppies and the 70s and 80s, and the world got worse. What's next? Today, there is no clear way for teenagers to go. All they have are crooked politicians, cynical TV preachers, and heavy metal musicians telling them that the things they feel are not are lies, and no one is offering them the truth that they crave so deeply. I'm telling you, brother, Billy Graham couldn't have said it no better. He said, our generation of young people, they're looking for something that's real. They're looking for something that goes deep down inside and satisfies them. They find out it's not in alcohol, it's not in drugs, it's not in movies, it's not in a fancy car, it's not in clothes, it's not even in money, and they're still looking for something that will, and they're looking in the wrong place. The world will attract you. They said that they asked a lot of young people some time ago, what's the most important thing you worry about? What's your 10 top worries? What worries you more than anything? Number one, they said, was doing good in school. Number two, what their friends thought about them. They thought like the main thing that bothers a young person is what their peers think about them. As a matter of fact, they took a survey of 13-year-olds and they said, what's the most important thing in the world to you? And the 13-year-olds said, everybody liking me, being popular, somebody want me. Now, a lot of parents, you forgot that. It's been so long since you've been there. You forgot that if you've got a 12 or a 13-year-old growing up, especially in a public school, that the most important thing in the world of that kid is their friends liking them. I'm telling you, that's a dangerous shape to be in. That's a scary shape to be in. And here, that's why I've always said that the kid ought to hear the same thing at church and at home and at school. If they hear the same thing at church, home, and school, you got the best chance with them. If either one of them three gives them another message, the devil's got a bigger shot at them. And so tonight, I want to talk about that world attracting you. It's attracting you, brother. They worry about the money, marriage, college, and God would not even be on the list. Somebody says, remember that old song? Each night I ask the stars up above, why must I be a teenager in love? You remember that old song? And they all said, well, these young people. And the worst thing a parent can do when a girl comes in and says, Mama, I'm in love, the worst thing a woman can do is say, oh, honey, that's stupid. Honey, you don't know what love is. Because she's 14 and her heart's about to bust, and all she thinks about is that guy. She thinks, you know what she thinks? Mama don't know what she's talking about. And on that situation, Mama don't. A teenager can be in love. They really can. I mean, some of you have forgot, brother. I mean, you remember. You say, oh, that's puppy love. You're right, it's puppy love. And that's why some of them wind up in the dog's life. It starts out in puppy love. But I'm telling you this evening, ladies and gentlemen, that world will attract you. It's mighty attractive. When the boy turns on the TV, it's just girls. That attracts him. And when the girl turns on the TV, it's happy, happy, fun, funny, funny, funny. And that attracts her. And brother, it's a sad day that we're living. The world will attract you. It's a dangerous thing. You have to have your parents' permission to get your ears pierced, but you don't to get an abortion in some of our states. You have to have a parent's permission slip to get your ears pierced, and many schools are issuing birth control and apart from your parents and can keep it here. I'm telling you tonight, the world will attract you. You turn that TV on, brother, it's from daylight till dark. It's 24 hours a day. It's attractive. It's attractive. That thing will make you want stuff you ain't got. That's what it's designed for. Sell you something. It'll make you want what you don't have. And you look on there and here's Hannah Montana. And boy, she's got the best of both worlds. I mean, boy, I'm telling you, she has got it made. And old Billy Ray's getting rich off her because he never had but one hit. And he went broke. And now he's making money off his daughter. Isn't that a shame selling her like that? But anyway, the world's attractive. It's got you. You do know tonight that to tell us that Nickelodeon is owned by MTV. Y'all know that, don't you? Nickelodeon is owned by MTV. So what MTV does with Nickelodeon, it's after these little boys and girls, 5, 6, 7 years old, and getting their mentality with the music, with the atmosphere, with the spirit of the world, so that when they get 12 and 13, they just graduate right on in to the bad stuff and the satanic stuff. And all I'm telling you tonight, that world's attractive. That's attractive tonight. It's attractive. The devil's got everything in the world out there. I'm telling you tonight, young boys, listen to me, boys. Listen to me, girls. Y'all listen to me back there, boys. The world is attractive. A lot of times those parents, we get their kids, oh, there ain't nothing out there in this world. And you know good and well you're lying. There's a lot out there in this world. There's a lot out there. The devil's got a lot. That's strike one. Number two, tonight I said the world will attract you. Number two, the flesh will appetize you. The flesh will appetize you. Everywhere you go, it's flesh, 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 flesh. I'm telling you, they can't sell toothpaste without putting a naked woman on it. Dog food. Cow food, brother. Amen? Without putting a heifer on it. I'm telling you tonight, brother, that's the day we're living in. I'm telling you, brother, listen, the flesh will appetize you. Amen? I'm done. They're learning to multiply before they can subtract. Nearly 20% of young people smoke pot. They tried cocaine, crack, every few hours. They all say they're young, healthy, smart. Nothing's going to happen to us. Wait, back years and years ago when we were in junior high, they told us about 4 STDs. That's sexually transmitted disease. 4 of them. And they warned us about them. They said, you kids need to be careful. Our sex education classes, that's what they told us. Brother, we're in 2008. You know how many there are now? 50. There's 50, and 1 out of 4 teenagers in America tonight is already infected with a sexually transmitted disease, and they're spreading it like wildfire. And I'm telling you, I've told you before tonight, I know it's not youth rally time, but you young people listen tonight. Every time you let somebody touch you sexually, you go to bed with them, you are automatically going to bed with everybody they've been to bed with and increasing your chances of getting a sexually transmitted disease that you'll never get rid of the rest of your life. The flesh will appetize you. 1 out of about 8 girls are pregnant out of 10, 1 out of 8, get pregnant every year in the United States between 15 and 19 years old. 1 over 1.5 million a year, and almost 90% of them are unwanted and unplanned. It's not an unusual thing at all for a cheerleader to come in and somebody come in and they'll say, "Where's so-and-so?" And they said, "She's visiting her grandmother in Florida. And she misses 3 or 4 days of school." And the truth is, she winds up pregnant and goes and pays a doctor several $100 to murder the baby. She comes back to school and sweeps it under the rug like nothing ever happened, hoping nobody won't ask questions. Her boyfriend is happy. He's off the hook. He loses nothing. She's living with a scar the rest of her life. And I'm telling you, I know one that did that, who was a cheerleader. She came and she loved the church. She loved preaching. She loved the Bible. And she'd sit here. You know how they sit when they're innocent? They'd sit here and look like a smile on their face. You know how they sit when they're not innocent? Like this. You can see it. You can see it by looking at them. And I'm telling you, that girl, she went to high school, had that baby murdered. Then she winds up in a grocery store. She sees a mother with a baby. That little baby kissing on mama's neck. That little baby's hugging her. And deep down inside, she said, "That could have been my baby. I had my baby's throat cut. I had my baby's brain sucked out. I had my baby's lung limb. I had it poisoned with salt solution." That's what they do in an abortion. Listen, all these reality TV shows, all this stuff. Well, why don't MTV put a special on? They're talking about broad-mindedness. Come on, people. They're talking about, they always talk about, tell it like it is. Why don't they put a special on abortion and show arms and legs in a trash can, kicking and screaming where the mother's had it murdered? Say amen about that. I'm telling you, this world will appetize you. Hear me tonight, young people, you hear me. They have over 200 clinics now in 33 states to give students prescriptions for birth control. Over 300 schools in 46 states have started child care programs for teen moms who have babies that's still in high school and they can't take care of them. One office, the office started giving girls $1 a day. Every month they don't get pregnant, they give them $30, $1 a day. Paying them. They say, "We don't need no more kids. They're unwanted. Nobody wants them." You know what's wrong with us tonight? The flesh will appetize you. Let's just be blunt for a minute. And I don't want to be too plain, but our generation is being fed a diet of music and movies and TVs that's absolutely got their hormones running wild. And you know it, and I know it, and God knows it, and ain't no use in us acting like, "Well, I trust my daughter." You're crazy if you trust your daughter. She's crazy if she trusts you. That's right. You can't trust this flesh. Mine, yours, nobody. But this flesh is rotten as a devil unless we get it right with God and serve the Lord and do right. The flesh will appetize you. Ladies and gentlemen, you hear me tonight. We're living in that day. We're living in a scary time. We're living in a time, brother, when people don't realize how bad that it really is. Half of young people are not even virgins when they get their cap and gown. There's over 1 million abortions in America a year. I'm telling you, brother, it's a scary, scary thing. You talk to them. I mean, we was on our bus route one night with Brother Mike Slaughtered down in Hickory. I was out on bus route. We had a prostitute walk up to us out there on the bus route. Two of them, I think, one day. We began to witness to it. Her eyes was all glassed up. Bless her heart, the little girl didn't even know where she was at. Staggered around in that community, trying to get some more crystal meth, trying to get another hit of crack cocaine. I don't even know if that girl's still alive. One of them we started talking to, and she started crying right on our bus route down here in Hickory. I'm not talking about Los Angeles and New York City. I'm talking about right here on the streets of Morganton, North Carolina. And if you don't think that your kids are being exposed to everything in this world, you've got another thing coming. They get it. They get offered stuff. They get made fun of if they haven't done stuff. They get laughed at if they haven't tried drugs. I'm telling you, the world is putting the pressure on our kids to give in. I heard about these boys that was at some football camp. That's what it was, football camp. And they was all daring each other and daring each other to do this and daring each other to do that. And one of them said, they bet this boy wouldn't eat a frog. Somebody caught a frog. We used to have kids do that at camp. These little boys would go catch little frogs and put them in their mouth. And they'd hold them in their mouth and they'd go up to girls and go, ah, and see them sitting on their tongue. That's sick, man. It ain't as sick as smoking pot, but it's sick. That's not as sick as drinking beer, but it's sick. Put a frog in your mouth. Frog pee's better than beer. Amen? Say amen right there. It really is. I can taste it either one of them, but I think it is. I think it is. Better for you, anyway. I'd rather have a wart on my tongue than my heart beating like that. I'm telling you something. Listen, that old boy, they said, you eat this frog. And they offered to pay that boy $40 to eat a frog. Big frog. And they said he took it like that, and there's all around. This is how stupid a bunch of young people are. You think your kids, oh, my kid would never do nothing. When they get out there with a bunch of people like that, and everybody's daring them and stuff like that, your kid, my kid, that is stupid stuff. All three of my girls have ate a frog in the day. Brother, you take him, he took that thing like this. Big old frog, held it upside down, big old fat one. And it was a kicking like that, and he had it upside down, and he was trying to kick up, and he goes like this and flips it over, right into his mouth. And he holds his feet like that and starts biting down on it. And they said blood and frog guts come out of his mouth. They said you could hear him crunching them bones. And pull one of them bones out of that frog leg. And he ate that whole thing. Now, wait a minute. No, wait a minute. Don't get up and they'll throw up. If you do got to throw up, get up. Or just do the right thing and don't give us up our seats. Pull your shirt out and do it like that. Run right down there. Like gravy and chunks going down your chest. But anyway, they said that boy ate that frog. And son, he swallowed that thing. And they said he threw up all night long. All night. He got $40 for doing that. They said he threw up all night. He puked his guts out. They said the next day at breakfast, that boy come to breakfast. And every one of them boys looked at him and just went. They couldn't stand it. Now I got to thinking, why would somebody do something that stupid? You know, we used to have gross out contests at camp, and I ain't going to get it all that, but Lord have mercy. We used to have some of the awfulest things there was. I had to stop it. I remember one time I said, who can do the grossest thing? It all started out when I ate dog food. And when it started, I admit, my cousin, Dan Blaney, some of y'all know Dan, was over at my house and I was feeding the dog one day, my bulldog, and I had dog food in the pan, and I was mixing it up, and I just had a lot of meal and some old stuff in there and mixed it up with dog food. And I said, here, I'll give you $20 if you'll eat a bite of that. He said, I ain't going to do it. I said, $20 right now. Eat this spoonful. He said, I ain't going to do it. He said, I'll give you $20 if you'll do it. I said, pull your $20 out. I was desperate for money then. I said, pull it. He pulled out $20. And buddy, I got a big spoonful of dog food and put it in my mouth. I really didn't think it'd be that bad. I thought, you know, they say on there it's got protein and stuff. You know what it tastes like? It tastes exactly like it smells. And that stuff stayed in my stomach till the next day. I burped that stuff. I thought, Lord God. And he gave me $20. And I felt bad taking that. I finally wound up giving me $20 back. Well, word got out that we did that. So we got to camp, and everybody said, Brother Danny ate dog food for $20. And all the kids, you know, was talking about it, you know, and everything. And they was all talking about it. And they said, I'll dare you to do that. I'll give you so much money if you'll. Well, it just started a big thing. And so I said, all right, now if we're going to do this, it's going to be organized. So we all met up there, and I said, we're going to know who can do the grossest thing. We had these boys took a hot dog bun. They put hot dog in it. Then they put dog food on top of the hot dog, like for chili. And then they put shaving cream on top of the chili, which was dog food. And they stood like this. One of them grabbed one side, and they ate that hot dog. I've seen it with my own eyes. Tell you, man. Shaving cream on dog food and a hot dog. And then we had boys eating granddaddy long legs. They was catching them things like crazy. And they'd say, "What's it?" And just chew them up and swallow them alive. And then they started eating that green slime stuff, you know, that kids used to play with. They started eating that stuff. And I said, "Okay, this is going to stop right now. Because we're going to have somebody at the hospital with some kind of chemical poison, and I'm going to get in trouble." And I said, "This is over. The gross out content." They said, one camp, they said the girls were going to illustrate gross. Five girls set up in a line like this. They all had, one of them had a glass of water and toothbrush. She used toothpaste, brushed her teeth, spit in the glass. Handed it to the next one, she used the same toothbrush, brushed her teeth, spit in the glass. She had the next one, that's true, spit in the glass. They, all the way down, the last one drunk it. You say, "Why are you telling us that stuff?" It's like, that would be the equivalent of Snoop Dogg's fatherhood. The fatherhood of Snoop Poop or something. The fatherhood of Poop Dog. That's it. Some kind of show like that. Amen. Preach it, brother. This world will attract you. Nearly one teenager a minute attempts suicide. There's enough suicides in America every year to wipe out four high schools the size of Freedom. Every year. In this country. Ladies and gentlemen, you know where that comes from? AC/DC, song "Shoot to Thrill." Quote, "Pull the trigger for a real thrill." Ozzy Osbourne, "Suicide Solution." Quote, "Make you mad, rest your head, gun's the only way out, why don't you kill yourself?" And they wonder why teenagers are doing that. Nearly one per minute. Elton John, you want to hear it? Quote, "I wonder why these people don't practice what they preach." Like Ozzy Osbourne and Elton John. They're trying to get you to shoot yourself. They'll say, "You first." Elton John, quote, "I'm getting bored being part of mankind. Not a lot to do. This race is a waste of time. People running everywhere. In the world, them retards can't see. The reason is the music." Oh, music can't make you. I didn't say it can make you. But it can sure push you that way. Them boys that shot them boys in Columbine, killed 13 people or ever how many it was at Columbine High School, their favorite band. I've got it on video. I'll be giving you some stuff at the youth rally. I've got some stuff that you can't argue with that I'm going to be showing at the youth rally, Lord willing. I'm telling you, their favorite band says, "You in the schoolyard, I'm ready to kill." Shows a gun come in, shoot your classmates up, shoot your teachers. And yet that's never mentioned on the news. You know why they say, "Oh, well, so-and-so listened to it and they didn't kill, so therefore, you can't prove it." I'm telling you, that's where the spirit that comes. When we was growing up, boys brought guns to school. They had a shotgun in the back of their truck because they was going squirrel hunting that evening. And nobody even thought nothing about it. It was, you could drive right on school property and have your gun in the back of your truck. And I'm telling you, people, it's a different day than we're living in. We didn't shoot the teachers. Well, I would like to have. But we didn't. We didn't shoot the teachers. We shot a squirrel and people whined about that. How could you shoot them little rats? You know, that's what it is. The world will appetize you. Listen. Thirdly tonight, the devil will attack you. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8 said, Satan himself goes as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. As you go through high school, you'll see a lot. You'll see a lot. And if you go to college, you're going to see a whole lot. They can't get away with it in high school because taxpayers pay for it. But as soon as you get to college, you're paying for it and they're going to feed you poison. I know I get criticized for that because people think I'm against education. I am not against education. I am not. I think a good education is good for anybody. I think good. You want to better yourself, I'm all for you. Become a nurse, doctor, lawyer. Well, I'm in good Christian work. I am not against that at all. But I'm telling you, you better watch out because college will poison your brain. these poor young people turns into atheists or agnostic at college and any other place in the world. You know why? Because they teach you at college to question everything you've ever been taught and to raise up questions. Who says that up's up and down's down? Who says that that causes pain? Who says that music has to be in tune? Who says colors have to match? Who says question authority? Question everything. Oh, let's be free. You know, like Brother Derek was talking about up there at Yale, that experiment or whatever it was. And I heard little parts of it this morning when I was running around here. And I'm going to tell you something, brother. The devil will attack you. And the devil will get you all wrapped up in high school. And the devil, I went to school with people. They were pretty good. I went to school with this one boy. He wouldn't even say a cuss word. He wouldn't drink a beer. And as soon as he got in high school, he got popular. He got on the basketball team. He started going. All of them was getting drunk. They'd all go after the games at night and get drunk somewhere. Next thing I know, he was drinking. Next thing I know, he's on drugs. And that boy tonight has messed up his whole life. He ain't done nothing for God. He used to try to get me to go to church when we was about in the 8th, 9th, and 10th grade playing basketball. He has ruined his life tonight. He ain't never won a soul. He don't go to church. His kids is in trouble, and his life is ruined because of alcohol and drugs. You know why? Because the devil attacked him. He got a plan for you. And there's one thing I've noticed about the devil. He's patient. He's like a snake. They say that a snake will lay in the grass for hours and not move, waiting on a rabbit to come by. And he'll just lay there like this. He don't get in no hurry. And the devil's out there laying out there for y'all like that. Just because he don't hit you tomorrow, he's just waiting on the right time and the right place, teenagers. He'll get you girls. One of the most dangerous times for a young lady is when she falls in love. Because when you fall in love, you start going by your body feelings instead of your brain. I talked to somebody this week. You don't know who it is. They don't even live around here. She called me. She said, "You remember me?" I said, "Yeah, I remember you. What's going on?" She said, "I just need some counseling." I said, "What you need?" She said, "Well, I've left my husband." And she said, "Him separated. I haven't been happy for 20 years. And I said, "Well, what's wrong? What's wrong?" She said, "He won't pay me no attention. He's this, he's that. We don't get along. We fuss all the time. Blah, 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 blah." And I said, "Well, what?" She said, "And I got this friend." "Oh, yeah, I bet you do. I bet you do." And she said, "This friend is not the reason I left." That's what they all say. "This friend is not the reason I left." But they never left till that friend come along. I said, "This friend, who is this friend?" She said, "Well, he's a guy I work with, and we begin to talk. And I'll be honest with you, we're close. We're emotional tie." I said, "But we're, no. And I called her name. I said, "You know what you better do? You better use your head, girl. You better know, do what you know is right, because your flesh has already got involved in going the wrong direction."
Yep.
And I said, "As a preacher and as a pastor, a man of God, I'm going to tell you what the Bible says." And I said, "You better what?" Listen, one of the most dangerous times for a young girl is when she starts falling in love with a guy. She can't even think straight. She can't even, and guys, same way. It's like your flesh overrules your better judgment. You start going against everything you've been taught your whole life, and then you start making excuses. "Well, you know, he might be, but you know, and well, but I know he's an idiot, but you know, he's got some good points." Or, "I mean, I know she's a sleaze, but really, one time she helped her grandma get groceries one day, and I think she's a good person." You know how you start making excuses for the sin. I'm going to tell you something. You better be careful. The devil will attack you. You'll go to school. Lady told me she went to school right over on the hill. And she said her professor got up the first day and said, "I'll consider myself a failure if I don't cause you to at least doubt the existence of God in this class. I'll be a failure." What she said? Western Piedmont. The great bastion of orthodoxy, Western Piedmont University. What do you think they get at UNC at Chapel Hill. What kind of pressure? I just can't imagine taking an 18-year-old boy and putting him in on a campus with 15,000 other his age. Oh, Lord. Are you nuts? What do you think's going to happen? They're getting out and get to study the Bible and pray. They'll come out an atheist, brother. And if, for one that makes it through and stays clean, there's 10,000 that never does. Somebody said, well, so-and-so went to a cop, and they come out. Yeah, that's one out of 10,000 is what that is. They'll get in there and they'll teach you that bull evolution. And you know the people that started evolution, the theory of evolution, you know why they did it? Because they didn't want to live by the Bible. And they said Charles Darwin even renounced it on his deathbed. And he said, I was a young man with uninformed ideas. I'm surprised that it caught on like it did. And the world says, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, God's not real. The Bible's not true. We came from monkeys. Let's party. And that's why it's popular. People that don't believe in God have a moral reason for not believing in God. I'm telling you, the devil will attack you, young people. And when you get in that atmosphere of that college and everybody, and they laugh at you for believing the Bible, and they tell it's old-fashioned just because you was raised in the Bible Belt and you're a hillbilly from North Carolina that ain't never heard nothing else and you're so narrow-minded and you should let the real world come in. All right, son, that's Satan with a mask on come in to destroy your life. You better get a hold of God and the old-time religion and faith and get it down deep in your soul. That's the only thing that'll take you through. It'll be strike three, man. You're out. You're out. The devil gets you to the edge and he'll push you off. He'll finally get you. He'll get you to where you don't even care anymore. I talked to a boy one time. I've been out of school about 2 years. High school, I'd started preaching. And I run in this boy, went to school with Marion the same time I did. I used to play basketball with him. And his name was Danny. I said, how you doing, Dan? He said, pretty good. I said, are you still going to church? He said, uh-uh. I said, why? He said, I don't believe like that no more. I said, really? How do you believe? He said, scientists have proved evolution in laboratories. I said, oh, God, come on, man. You know better than that. That's the biggest fairy tale. I mean, I can believe in the Smurfs before I can believe in evolution. That's just somebody drawed him. Somebody drawed a... He said, well, they've shown it in laboratories. I said, really? I said, where'd the world come from? He said, well, millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions. You go back far enough, anything can happen. You know, he said, there was a huge explosion on the sun. And a blob went out in... I said, whoa, 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 whoa. Where'd the sun come from? Well, yeah. Where did that sun come from, people? That thing's huge. How did it get hot? Who set it on fire? What keeps it from falling? What's gravity? Do you honestly think that we evolved out of nowhere by ourselves and we have the ability to distinguish colors? I can see purple, blue, yellow. All that, that's just an accident. That I can hear distinctive sound. I was running the other day, jogging down Hoppy Tom, and I have a hood on because it's cold, and I was just running down through here like that, and I thought, well, I thank God I can hear. I get some deep thoughts while I'm running. And I was running, I thought, I'm glad when a car is coming up behind me, I can hear it. I don't have to turn around and say, is there a car coming? I can hear it coming. And I move over in the grass like that. All that's an accident if you believe in evolution and there's no God. That smells like potatoes. That smells like perfume. I smell strawberries. You can't see them. You can't hear them. But there's strawberries in here somewhere. I can smell them. That's an accident. Pure accident if there's no God. Pure accident. See how the devil's tricked people? That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Phew. I want out of here. See how? That's a foul Amen? We used to have these drunk midgets come to church. That's the truth. That's the truth. Not Brother Ray. How many of y'all remember the midgets? Okay, in Marion, yeah. We had and then they was drunk, man. And they'd come, you could come in on Sunday night, and I remember I could walk in the back in the old building, and it had a low ceiling here, and I could smell out. He just thought you was in a bar, man. I thought, Lord, who's drunk in here? You know? And my daddy come in one night, we was all sitting over at the house one night at church, and he said, where in the world them fidgets come from? What do you call them, fidgets? That's what they call them in West Virginia. But listen, brother. Your nose can tell smells. Your eyes can see colors. My eyes can focus on that and focus on Brother Mike. Focus on Kevin. Focus on Brother Mike. Just like that, instantly. You can't even make a camera to do that. It'll have to focus. It takes it a second to focus. You say, there ain't no God. Man can't even make one that'll do that, let alone it happened by accident. Listen. Just as sure as you're sitting in that seat tonight, there is a God. And He's looking at us right now. He's looking at this service. He's saying to me, can't you do a little better? I'm trying to make you look good, Lord. If you'll help me, then that's what I try to do every night. I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven, young people. Give your life to Him, because the world, son, it'll strike you out. I preached a message like this one time. And there's a teenage girl. Jason, y'all come. There's a girl hit the altar bawling. She's about 17 years old. And somebody went to pray with her and she said, the devil struck me out. Maybe you feel like that tonight. Lord will give you another chance. He'll give you another chance tonight. It ain't going to be long that we're going to be talking youth rally out our nose, brother. We evolved to be able to do that. I'm telling you, our 40 days is coming up here pretty soon. It was only, I think, 8 weeks from this past Friday. I think. So let's get it right tonight. Teenagers, let's all stand by our heads.